Well, as I said, it's good to be here tonight, feel the presence of the Lord, and know that God is with us, and know that God is still in world evangelism and still interested in winning souls. And when we come to the house of God, we just come to sing a chorus or two and worship a little, to try to get our minds coordinated together, because when we come, we're not coordinated together. It's very evident, even that I said what I did, I could tell it didn't set well. And it's very evident that we're not coordinated together. And a lot of times we say some little something to find out if we're still following, if we're leading, and seeing if we're conforming, and seeing if we have anybody that's really trying to conform to the word of the Lord and follow the things of Christ. And of course, the first thing I find when I get up here, we don't. It's very seldom that we have people who are conforming and following. People are individualists that do not conform and do not follow. And no matter what you do or say, they do not conform and they do not follow. They are individualists in their own minds, and they live that way. And as a result of that, they get left, and they don't make it into the kingdom of God. But the Bible teaches to follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and follow his dear children. And the first thing we learn to do is surrender our will and surrender our desire and learn to conform and follow the leadership of God and follow the things of God and follow the shepherd as he calls to you. Just the fact that the shepherd wants something one way, it should go that way. He is the shepherd. So then, especially if he's happened to be right, it should go that way for sure. But when we have our own mind and our own will and our own way, it doesn't matter what he does or what he says. We want him to fall right in with what we're doing and do it our way and go our way. And so then when he does that, the church is all messed up because there's no leader anymore. We just do what we want to, and whoever, whatever, whenever, wherever is the one that takes over and leads and does what they want to do. Well, tonight, I was just thinking as I was coming along here, we was watching them today. They trying to get the building finished down here in our international affairs, and looks like that they're coming along real well. Strangely enough, down there, I have leadership and have people following and having people doing what I want them to do. And when I come to church, seems like I have so many leaders here that I just have to try to find me a place when I get here. And as a result of that, we don't get very much done at the church. But we do get a little something done outside, because they do flock around and they do follow the shepherd and they do listen to what I say, and we do have a good time in the Lord. And they are so willing to listen and conform. But here I find a real hostility out of so many people, that their minds are so contrary and their bodies and minds are not surrendered at all. They are individualists going their way and doing their own thing. Well, there's a reason for that. And I'm glad that I understand some of it. Being here tonight, was just thinking, it's kind of an unusual time that we're living in. Things are happening real fast. And people are getting more alien and alienated from the things of God. Day after day, they're getting harder in their hearts and spirits, getting more determined as a individualist way of life, and it's making it harder and harder for God to be able to communicate with them. The first thing that we're taught in the Bible, one of the major things, is that we ought to submit ourselves one to another and esteem others better than ourselves, and to look on the things of another and to seek the welfare of another. And as Jesus said, I come to wash your feet and be an example to show you what we should do. And these things we're supposed to do. So then when we don't do that, then that means we're out of sorts to start with. We're not in touch with God. We're not in touch with the kingdom. And we're not going anywhere, because we're already boggled down in our minds and in the things of the world. This body that you have is a trap. It is a pest house, and it is a trap. It is a prison. Though to you, it's a beautiful thing. It's something that you love to admire in the mirror. You love to comb the hair. You love to put on fine clothes, and you love to do all kind of things. People paint their lips and their eyebrows, and they pump their muscles, and they jog, and they shape their bodies, and they do all kind of things, and passions, and eating and drinking and buying and selling and putting on shows and all kind of things. They do this because they admire the body. And because they are trapped in the body, and to them, the body is a great thing. And to them, they never know that the body is a trap. They never know during the lifetime until it's too late that the body is a trap and that it is a body of death. That it's not a body of life as they suppose, in that they can enjoy life and do all these other things, but it is a body of death. And what appears to be life is but vanity, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and all of that is the pass away, and all of that is vanity, and all of that is vexation of the Spirit of God. And every bit of that is altogether vanity that must cease to be. And that they are trapped in that body, and they're trapped in that spirit of lust that covetous that body, in that the dispute is over the body. Satan is disputing over that body because the first thing that he did in the garden was steal the body. He took the body and he stole the body, and the body was made for God, the great eternal spirit, the quickening, that it might have life in that more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. And Satan stole the body so that he could live in the body and he could take all of the things that God had made for mankind and use them for his own glory and make man his glory, in that man was made for the glory of God. He perverted it to make man his glory and make man produce his perverted image and have control of the world by force with law and the lust of the flesh, ruling in his way with the old tree of knowledge and enjoying the lust of the flesh and the body as long as there was life and youth. And then when the life and youth is gone, to throw them over to an old folks home or throw them over to the people and say, let them take care of them and go after another one that's full of passion and lust so that he can burn their senses out by overcharging them the same way he did the one he just throwed aside like a rag doll. And so he continues this on and on as he goes on in his renegade way of life. For the body is a body of death. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who will get me out of this body? I'm trapped in this body. Who can get me out of this body? I'm in a body of death. The sentence of death is ended, and the body must die because of death. And the dispute is over the body. And God is trying to redeem the body and bring it back to its originality, bring it back to the illumination of God's grace, and bring it back to the blessings and glory that God had intended for it, and put the body once again over all of the act of creation, in that God intended for man to have all that he had ever made. Instead of letting Satan take him and ruling over him and making him a prisoner of circumstances and a bondschild of the human senses and having everything Satan's way through the weakness of the body or the feminine side of it. And so then the Bible says, what is man, David of old said, that thou hast done him the way that he has? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and thou hast crowned him with your glory, and you have set him over the work of your hands. What is he? And so then we find the dispute is over the body, and the body is a trap. The body is a death trap, and you're caught in it. Your inter-angelic being, your intermost spirit, your life is caught within the body. And the body, because of Satan, is on the rampage, and there's no good thing within your body. There is no good thing within your flesh. Paul said, the will is present, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So then, death is in the body. The sentence of death is in the body, and because you are trapped in the body, then you are trapped with death, and there's no way that you can escape the death, because to be carnally minded is death. And the very thing I spoke of when I first come up here tonight, when I realized there was no coronation, and I tried to get a little sequence here, tried to make a few little motions. That's what I usually do so I don't have to say words, because I know my audience a lot of times is so weak that if I ever say a few words, down they go like that, and they're contrary to me, and that makes me have a hard time to even get started. But anyway, nevertheless, coordinating one way or another, whatever you coordinate with them that you want to coordinate with, you coordinate with the singers, you coordinate with musicians, you coordinate with the audience, you coordinate with your own mind, you coordinate whatever you want to, and forget about the shepherd, and then at the end of the way, we'll see where you go. You that love the Lord, you hear my voice, a stranger, you will not follow. Coordinate and follow me as I follow Christ, and we'll go right on into the wonderful kingdom of God. Just make sure that I'm following Christ, that's all. My sheep know my voice. It's a little flock, but a little flock, don't be afraid. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So then the dispute is over the body, and you're my problem. You're my enemy because you are the body. And the Bible said, despising the body are the garments that spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. And we come trying to pull you out of the fire. It is not that we have a war with flesh and blood. We have a war with the infiltration which is in your body, that's in the body itself. The infiltration which is Lucifer, that's in that body, it is death. It is carnality. It is human reason. It's what you call your educational system and your way of life, your thoughts. And when you think your thoughts, then you're my enemy if I think God's thoughts. For the Bible said the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It's not subject to the laws of God. Neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh, they are in the carnal mind. And to be carnally minded is death. But the spiritual mind is life and it is peace. I've come that you might have life. For my words are spirit and my words are life. And I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Which means filled up and overflowing. And to do that, you must come out of the body. You must be delivered from the body of death. You must get out of the body of death. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, do you really mean that my body is a body of death? Your body is the body of death. It's the body of death. Someone would say, well, I can't get a hold of that. That's my body. That's all that I have, Brother Pike. No, that's not all you have. The Bible says that we born the image of the earthy as to the first man, Adam, and we must put off this, my tabernacle, Peter said, but when I put it off, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. And as I have borne the image of the earthy, so shall I bear the image of the heavenly. Ye are the dust, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. Thou art a worm upon thy belly that shall be put into the fire, where the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. But ye that are born again, there's no remembrance of former things. There's no remembrance of the old body. There's no remembrance of the old Adam. There is a new body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you are a new creature and a new world, old things having passed away, and behold, all things are now new. And ye are they that dwell in heaven, and ye are not of the dust, neither came thee from the dust, and neither shall thou return to the dust. But you came from heaven as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the foreknowledge of God, and will return thither. So we are they that look for another life and another world and another body. For there is a temporal body, and there is an eternal body. There is a terrestrial body, and there is a celestial body. There is a mortal body, and there is an immortal body. There is the terrestrial and the celestial. There is the corruptible. There is the incorruptible. And as we have borne the image of the corruptible, so shall we bear the image of the incorruptible. That's why the Bible says, put on your garments, your lovely garments, O Zion, for the time of thy light is come, and let thy light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For your light shall shine unto the ends of the world, and the ends of the world shall come to the shining of your light.
For this is the hour of your understanding, which is your light, that it might be the enlightening of your understanding to illuminate the whole world, and the ends of the earth should come to your shining. They will come and kneel before you and glorify God in you and know the truth that God has loved you. For God shall suddenly appear within his temple, whose temples ye are. If you defile this temple, the Bible said God will destroy this temple. And so then the body must be changed. The body must go through the new birth. You must prove to be a new creature with a new life, not dwelling in the earth, but they that dwell in heaven. We are not in the earth. We're not of the world. We've been chosen out of the world and hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. Therefore, you are a new creature, and you do not dwell in the earth, neither are ye the worm or the serpent that's on his belly, wherein the Bible said God put him upon his belly for all of his labors, for his belly and his mouth, because his mouth and his belly craved it of him. But you're not a generation of vipers. You're those that are born again, and you do not dwell in the world, for he chose you out of the world. And then you're not of the world, for he's taken the world out of you and placed the kingdom of God within you, and ye are they that dwell in heaven. And the Bible said, and Satan, the evil one, shall not come nigh your dwelling. You're without spots, you're without wrinkle, you're without blemish, and nothing can defile you, because he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So we see that the dispute is over this body, and this body is the temple of God when it's not infiltrated with the evils of Lucifer. And the evils of Lucifer and the infiltration as to the first birth, which is that of Adam having borne the image of the earthy, it is under the curse. The sentence of death is in it. It is a body of death. There is no good thing within it. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How can I escape the body of this death? This imprisonment with bars of bone. How can I escape it? My soul is caught within it. And if I cannot escape the infiltration of the intellectual reasoning of the self-will of mine own way of life and my own human desire of leaning in my own understanding, then I will go into the fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What then can I do to escape this body? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul said. I thank God that what the law could not do, though it was great, and though it was mighty, and though it was given by Moses, and though it was from God, it could not deliver me from this body of death. The law was added because of transgression, that I might understand that I had transgressed, and it was given to magnify sin, that it might rise up to crush me, to cause me to see my need for a Savior. And mercy offset the law, because mercy rejoices against judgment. And where there is the love of God, then judgment cannot overrule the love of God. One thing that is greater than the powers of the flames of hell, and that is love. Though God's wrath was billowing when he created hell, for the devil and his angels in the time of God's anger, yet God in love, through a personification of a human form likened to you and I, waded through the flames of hell, and love was so great that the flames were ashamed and drew back and could not touch the great, wonderful God of heaven. As he walked through the flames of hell, they realized he was their master, and that he was the one that created them, and they drew back as he passed through. He took the keys and opened the way through hell, and love triumphed over the flames of hell. And love is the victim, for love is as strong as death. And love is of God, for love is God. And God is love, and there is no true love except God. So then we know that the dispute is over the body, and God is still fighting for his body. He is still inwardly fighting, bringing forth his thoughts and strong reasoning against your human reasoning of your five senses that has you in captivity as the bonds child of the beggarly elements of this world to cause you to rest upon the desire of your belly. So we realize that the dispute is over the body, and this body is an imprisonment, and this body is a body of death, and in it is no good thing, and we're praying, oh God, deliver me from the body. I have no war with the body, but I have a war with the infiltration of Lucifer and the intellectual forces that's in the body that's contrary to the thoughts of Jesus Christ and the mind of Christ, which has me in bondage and in captivity, that's using my five senses to destroy my soul. Whereas Jesus said when he was preaching in this world, he said, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, and after that can do no more. But I'll show you whom ye shall fear. He that after he hath destroyed the body can destroy the soul in hell. So then this is the one that we ought to fear. When man threatens you according to the body, he can abuse your body, he can hurt you, he can put you in jail, he can do you all kind of harms. But he cannot harm your soul. Your soul will live on eternally. It will live on forever somewhere. And this is the thing to be concerned about, is your soul's welfare, because that's where the life is. God breathed the breath of life into the human being, and he became a living soul, and he still lives today. And the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever to 1,000 generations, and the breath of life to the soul and the preservation of the soul to eternal life, if we will allow it to be that way. So we find that the dispute is still over the body. There is a dispute. Satan is saying, stay within this body. Let me have this body. Yield your human senses to education and fame and popularity. Yield your human senses to the enjoyment of the wine and of the eating and the drinking and of the reveling. Yield your human senses to the sports and the excitements of the passions and human senses of this world, that we might enjoy the excitement of living and own what you can have in this world. Get all that you can. That way you will give me the body, and I will have control of the body, Satan says. And I will show you the thrills of the passions of the body. But he doesn't tell you anything about dying. He doesn't tell you that you're on death row and that you're waiting your time. Unless you meet the master, you'll never have eternal life. And he doesn't tell you that you will be cast into the lake of fire with him, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. He doesn't tell you of the heartaches and the sorrows of the broken heart and of all of those things that you're going to experience during your lifetime, and the loss of your loved ones and your health and your happiness and the loss of your goals and all of those things you seem to have labored for and have obtained unto, only to find out in the end that ye have been a fool. You know, Solomon spoke of this, saying a fool in his substance is soon parted. I've often thought about it as a fool. The fool is known by the multitude of his words. Take a fool, the Bible said, a fool uttereth all that he knows. You can talk to a man or a woman that's a fool, and they're all mouth. They talk all the time. They never give you a chance hardly to say anything. They're full of talk. They've always got something to talk about. And what they talk about really doesn't amount to anything as far as a lasting subject. It's just something that they talk about because they're filled up with talk, etc., whatever. And so then they are a fool, and the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the Bible said if you rebuke a wise man, you'll get yourself a blessing, and he'll praise you, and he'll go on and be wiser. But if you rebuke a fool, you'll get yourself a blot. He'll tell it all over town. He'll paste your name all over town, as we say. He'll say all kinds of things against you, and he'll belittle you because he didn't receive what you told him. But a wise man will increase in learning. And every time that you rebuke him, he will listen and he'll grow wiser. So then the fool is in the world today. The fool is in the world today. The fool is one that makes no preparations for the future. He just lives and eats and drinks and goes on and revels through life. He doesn't make any preparations for the future because he is the fool. A fool is one that doesn't listen. When he's instructed, he doesn't listen. He doesn't give the more earnest heed to the things he's heard. Neither does he take heed how that he hears those things. He is a fool. He continues on. You take a fool driving down the road in a car. He comes to a curve and it says 45 miles an hour. But he is a fool. It doesn't matter with him. He doesn't pay any attention to the sign. He's not aware of the danger. He's going to go around it as fast as he feels to go around it. And though it may cost him his life, he's still going to do it because he is a fool. A wise man will approach with caution because he feels there's some reason for the sign to be there. A fool will violate the laws of the land. He will not listen to the laws of the land. He will be a pothead. He will be on dope. He is a fool. He will drink and he will eat and he will revel. He will curse. He will defile another man's wife and another man's daughter. And he will tear down and he will cheat and he will con and he will swindle in all of his deals because he is a fool. And eventually he will wind up in hell because he is a fool. A man that is a fool, he goes through all of these things. He rejects everything in life, not realizing it. For the Bible says that a fool and his substance is soon parted. A man that is a fool, he cannot get along with his wife. He never allows her any leeway at all. He's always demanding. He's ruling over her with a rod of iron. He doesn't really treat her with grace and love. And after a while, she leaves him and he realizes he's a fool, for his substance is gone. A fool will defile his own little daughter and his own little son. A fool will do that, and eventually a fool will wind up in prison or in the electric chair, or somebody will slit his throat, or something will happen to him along the way. A crash on the highway or death will claim him because he is a fool. Whether he be a drunkard or a gambler, he is a fool. And a fool is one that is not aware and one that does not observe. And a fool in his substance is soon parted. A fool is one that squanders all that he hath. He will not lay up anything as the little ant for the winter. He does not try to provide a place for shelter. He does not try to provide clothing for the cold weather or decency. He does not try to provide transportation to where he can have that that's necessitated to life or the benefits of life. He does not provide food, nor does he care for his little wife and his children, nor does he share with them. He's very greedy. He's gullible. He throws his money away. He spends everything by just throwing it to the wind, as we say. And like the prodigal, he squanders all that he has. Because he is a fool, he winds up in the hog pens of the world. He is a fool. So we realize that the dispute is over the body. A fool is one that gives his body to the lust of the flesh and the things of the world. But a wise man, the Bible said, he looketh well to his going. He ponders the path of his feet. He counts the cost. He handles his affairs discreetly or with discretion. He is not a fool. He is a wise man. He is not a fool, and when he is in conversation, he doth not utter all that he knows. He listens. Before he answers, he listens. A fool will answer before he listens and gives his opinion. The Bible said, when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, which is your thoughts and opinions. Come into the house with thanksgiving and with praise. Come in to listen and give the more earnest heed to the things of God that you've heard. So then, The man that is not a fool, his substance remains with him. He looks well to his going. He makes provisions. He looks after his little family. His affairs, he handles them real well. He takes counsel with the wise, and he fellowships those that have understanding. And he seeks out friends that have understanding. And he walks with those of wisdom because he is not a fool. He does not imagine himself to be some great prophet or some great dignitary or some great something that he's not. He does not go on a drunken spree at a dope up so that he can have hallucinations to think he's rich and spend what little he's got and create an indebtedness because of his foolishness. The Bible said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible teaches that if you do the things that God tells you to do, you will confident the heart. And then this confidence being faith, you will have whatsoever you desire. You can say it, and it will be yours. So then a man that is wise, he will search out a matter. He will find understanding. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. And he will counsel much with whoever he can that he believes to be wise, that he might know what to do and how to handle his affairs. He will observe a wise man and he will watch the wise man to see what he does to have the benefits of life, and the wise man to see what he does to have the right kind of home. And the wise woman will do the same. She will observe the wise woman that she sees with a happy family to find out how that she did it. And eventually she will be wise. And if two walking together will be agreed in the wisdom of those things, and there'll be two happy homes. The other thing is that whatever you walk with, you are agreed with. And two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. And so then walking with the fool, you prove that you are a fool. Walking and fellowshipping those that are in error out of the world, God has not given you the spirit of error. And if this other individual that you're with hath the spirit of error, then are ye the same as he is, and you've accepted the spirit of error, because two cannot walk together, lest they be agreed. Withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly and every sister that walks disorderly. Not only that, but the Bible said if you perceive there's no understanding in a man, if he's a fool, go from him. Don't have any fellowship whatsoever. So then we see that God is a wise God. God is a loving God. And God has so allowed this body to become a fool. It is born into the world through the foolishness of Adam. And in Adam all die. And through the weakness of Eve's foolishness, the body is in bondage today to death. And this body is a fool as it walks today. Not because the body is the fool, but Satan within it is the foolishness of the tree of knowledge. And has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't have to honor him. I will do what I will do. And so then he hath made the body to be a fool. And thus God has killed and destroyed the body, hating the image from the time it's born, saying that from the time you are a child, the spirit of foolishness is within you, and you must have the rod of correction, and that I will give you grace until the day that you come to a knowledge, to know right and wrong, and then sin will be imputed, and you will be charged with death. Unless you repent of your sins and be wise enough to accept the ways of salvation. So we see then that we can be a wise man. We see that we can be a wise woman. We see then we can be a fool. We see that we can follow our own thoughts, go our own way. What does it take to be a fool in this world? It takes one thing to be a fool in this world, and that is to listen to yourself. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the word or the Lord with all of your heart. Cast down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God every thought. So then, what does it take to be a fool? Just doing your own thinking, going your own way, making your own plans and living your own life. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's all it takes to be a fool. I wonder if we have any fools that's listening today. So then, do we have any wise people today? What does it take to be a wise man? A wise man will hear, and he will keep it in till after, and he will grow wiser. He will take heed of that of what he hears, and he will ponder the path of his feet, and handle his affairs with discretion. He will repent at the voice of God quickly, and he will follow the word of God, and he will allow the mind of Christ to be in him, that will teach him and deliver him from this world of lust and pride and selfishness, and cause him to go through a self-denial and a thing whereas he esteems others better than himself. He looks on the things of another. He seeks the welfare of another, and he's ever seeking souls for Christ. That is a wise man. So, do we have any wise men and women today that is listening as we talk? So, reprove a wise man and he will be wiser. Reprove a fool and he will be a greater fool. Well, let's stand together, just a little exhortation tonight. I don't feel any real hunger, but we was going to say something anyway, and we did, because there are some things that we do need to know. Glad to have Brother Shawosky with us tonight, I guess. He's here. I don't see him, but anyway, he's back there, I suppose, because somebody was telling me that he's here. Haven't seen Joe in a long time. He's a real precious person. We loved Joe very much and still do. He moved off to New York. He married over in that area, and I guess he's got a family by now. But I see him waving his hand back there. It's really good to have you here with us, Joe. How many appreciate Joe being here with us tonight? And I believe his companion's with us, too. We're certainly glad to have them here with us. He's home, folks. And it's always glad to see the home folks come back home. It's good to have you. Jason is here with us. He's been with us a number of times. Coming down with Sue and, I won't say visiting. He was in the men's meeting the other night. He's just about getting to be home, folks. But a junior, Beretta, he's probably here tonight. Junior was with us today, most of the day, and has been with us for a number of days now. And Tony was down the other night, and I was thinking that Michelle and Dane was supposed to be here tonight, too. They were here the other night with us and had been going out to an elderly home and sharing their time with some people out there. I thought that was great. It's so wonderful as people seek a vision and are trying to do something for God. How many of you love the Lord? I thank God for you, and I thank God for those that come with you. I thank God for the grandchildren and the little wives and those that come with them. Appreciate home folks and family. We're trying our best to lead you in the right way. We don't keep you very long. We talk to you just a little bit. Maybe on Sunday we keep you a little longer when we're here. But through the week we haven't kept you very long. We've exhorted you a little bit and let you go. The other night when we preached to you, was it on a Wednesday night? We preached to you, and we didn't keep you very long, but we did get into some revelation because we felt some hunger. It wasn't much, but we felt a little bit, and so we did get into some revelation. Tonight, I think I kind of distorted things just a little bit when I turned in a tiny, tiny complaint, and all of you complained against me, it seemed like. But you shouldn't have. You should have been with the shepherd. A lot of times God will allow that to see where your heart is and who you're following and which way you're going. But nevertheless, I appreciate your kind attention tonight in what has been said. And remember, the fool will do his own thing. The wise man will listen to the shepherd, if he is really a shepherd. And if he isn't a shepherd, you certainly don't need to come and listen at him. You don't need to follow him unless he is following Christ. Well, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? He's real, real, real. Christ is real to me. Real, real, real. whole and he gives me the victory. Some people doubt it, I can't live without it. Love him so, Christ is real to me. Oh, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Real, real, real. Gives me the victory. Can you sing it with me? People doubt it, I can't live without it. That is why I love him so. For Christ is real to me. Christ is real to me. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. Help in my heart, I can believe I'll overcome someday. Walk on the streets of gold. Walk on the streets of gold. I'll walk on the streets of gold someday. Help in my heart, I can believe I'll walk on street. Can you sing it with me? For we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe I'll overcome some. One more time. Oh, I'll overcome. I'll overcome. I'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe I'll overcome someday. Let's sing this little song. Sir than a brother, Jesus is to me. He's my dearest friend, for he's everything that I need. Oh, he's my rock, my shield, my hiding place. Closer than a brother, Jesus is. Can you sing it with me? Oh, he's closer than a brother. My Jesus is to me. He's my dearest friend, and he's everything I need. Oh, he's my rock, my shield, my hiding. Closer than a brother, Jesus is. One more time. Oh, closer than a brother, my Savior is to me. He's my dearest friend, and he's everything that I need. Oh, he's my rock, my shield, my hiding. Closer than a brother, Jesus to me. Can you say amen? Amen. Closer than a brother, Jesus is to me. Let's sing another little chorus before we go. That sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. There the tears will never fill my eyes again. For the hills will echo with the story of His love and of His glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home. Sing that with me. That sounds like home to me, like where I belong to be. There the tears will never dim my eyes again. For the hills will echo with the story of His love and of His glory, where the saints of God. I want you to lift your hands and close your eyes. And let's sing it again, can we? That sounds like home to